Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jim Rockford at the tone. Leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
Quav da hut na chu. Jason Callan completely lacks honor.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Martinez Tonight. I'm your host, Jeffest. Hopefully, you can hear me. It looks like it's working. Welcome. Broadcasting live from the beautiful south side of the Carquinez Strait in San Francisco Bay. 55 degrees here tonight in Martinez, mainly cloudy skies. Before we get going, I want to shout out to Barney and Lloyd over at the Chevron Refinery. They're listening in tonight on www.blogtalkradio.com/Martinez Tonight. Once again, here at Martinez Tonight, we are live, and call-in number for the show tonight, 929-477-3181, 929-477-3181. And we have the live chat, which is one of everyone's favorite activities while you're listening to the show. That chat address, www.paranormal.chat, www.paranormal.chat. Also, remember the forum is www.bellgab.com, www.bellgab.com. Well, this is a special Super Bowl edition of Martinez Tonight. Lots to go over and lots to talk about. It's been kind of a slow week out there when it comes to our favorite citizen of this beautiful town, George Senda. But we do have some audio this week, and we do have some interesting developments, but I think George might be, well, before we get into where he's going in his life and a possible renaissance, we also want to go over what we're going to be talking about tonight, too. I had thought that some people might be interested in carny food. Yes, that's right. Carnival fair food. Something my daughter and I really love and look forward to usually once or twice a year whenever we go to a fair or carnival, especially the county fair, and one of our favorite foods is Indian fried bread. So tonight we're going to be going over a recipe for that and talk a little bit about the history of it, either called Navajo fried bread or Indian fried bread. Also, we're going to have open lines, as always, tonight. Chat room shout-outs, everybody's favorite later on, Confabulation Nation, which you don't want to miss. And I think also it'd be good to go over a little bit of people we miss on Bellgab. And it's going to be a new little segment of the show that we're going to add, people we miss. There's a thread of people we miss, but we also want to talk about sometimes they pop in and give their opinion about Bellgab and the people who use Bellgab or the people who used to not use Bellgab. And then Super Bowl predictions. I'll give you my Super Bowl predictions, and we'll go from there. So let's go ahead and start with a clip, and I think this clip is just pretty much circling up the story arc of the Circle of Rust, or the end of the Circle of Trust. And George had another mention this week of the end of the circle and some of his thoughts. So let's go ahead and hear that.
And dealing with the after effects of Circle of Diarrhea is why I haven't been doing videos. Did a little cleaning in the air and threw a bunch of stuff out and packed up laundry and you know, I'm happy. And I found this great song, and it's by, of all things, The Third Eye, a former South African singing group. But listen to the song and the words, including ones people talk at your back and wish you were dead. And I'm done with the circle of diarrhea, and I expect the evil chefist and the troll master 6 weeks of manure in his mouth, and be wary of open lines, Jerry, and Area 51 drones on and on are having a fit right now because they're not getting any information out of me. Of course, 6 week tenure said he was chefist, and then Jerry said it was sarcasm. I don't believe it for a minute. And of course, all of the information we have from these clowns, it's from them. We don't know if Heather Wade is funding everything or not. And they attack my friend Justin, because whenever you attack them, they go on the attack and blame it on somebody else. And that's the last thing I'm going to say about the circle of diarrhea. I've got other things to do. So watch the link. It's a great song. It too comes from a 70s show.
Okay, so there's George talking about the circle of rust, also commenting that he thinks 6 week tenure and I are the same person. And I believe I have another audio clip later on where he thinks drone and Jerry are the same person. And that rumor's been bandied about out there and floated out there. And are they the same people? There's been some audio recording of both men, both gentlemen. They do sound somewhat similar, in my opinion, but it was undetermined if I truly believe they were the same one. But interesting, in this audio clip, George in the past has mentioned that he thinks Jason Callen is copying him, that Jason Callen was copying his haircut, of all things, copying wearing red shorts and blue shirts and everything he mentions on his video. But now George is reviewing music in this latest YouTube video that he's posted. And that's what Jason Callen is also famous for on YouTube. Other than food reviews, he also does music reviews. So it's pretty interesting. Perhaps George is looking to copy Jason in an attempt to get a little bit of revenge. But George did post 10 videos this week. So there seems to be a little bit of a change in what's going on with George, maybe for the better, maybe for him and his life. I noticed that he did appear to clean up the section of his apartment where he usually films his videos. I noticed that the bookcases were not falling over now. He seems to have it somewhat more organized. And that he also had installed a light bulb, which seemed to be technically a challenge for George, installing the light bulb. But also, George seems to be donning a new beard. He's growing a beard, which is rather interesting because he's always seemed clean shaven. And in one of his haul videos, which he had posted about a month or so ago, he bought 3 cans of Barbasol. And I'm not really sure why he bought 3 cans of Barbasol and then now has decided to grow a beard and is not using the Barbasol. But this has always been an ongoing theme with George and his spending habits, spending money on things he doesn't need. But yeah, it's grunge George, Lobster Popsicle in the chat room said, and I've seen that mentioned on Belgab as well. But I think he's got some changes going on in his life. Maybe getting rid of the circle of trust was a good step forward in his recovery, I would say. His recovery from himself. Hey, we got a caller tonight on Martinez Tonight. 2 callers. Let's go ahead and pick those up. Once again, you want to call the show, call in number 929-477-3181. Jason, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good, man. Pretty good.
Good. You have a good week?
That was my cue. That was my cue to get in when he said he was copying me.
Oh, you know it, man. I've never seen him. I guess someone else posted a video, number 814, I believe. I can't quite remember where he was doing some music, but I think maybe he's trying to get back at you a little bit.
It's just kind of weird. He's calling it the circle of diarrhea. Is he talking about the circle of trust or his asshole? You know,
Well, he's got those third eye capabilities that are daunting, to say the least. And also, I do have an audio clip later on where George rants about a broken toilet seat and more bowel issues. He seems to suffer from irritable bowel syndrome and bleeding from his rectum. And what the issues are, I don't know. Is it the hemorrhoids or colon cancer, polyps? Could be any one of those things. But we got another caller here, Jason. I'm going to bring him on, okay?
All right.
Anonymous, you're on the air with Chefist and Jason here at Martinez Tonight.
What sound does a gaping asshole make during sex?
That would be my closest guess.
How is your bowel control?
Bowel control. Well, I think the bowel control would be directly related to your diet. And so depending upon what you eat would probably directly affect your bowel control.
Do most guys shoot their load as you're just putting a diaper on them?
Do most guys shoot their load as you're... Oh, yeah, I think we're talking about infantilism. Now, infantilism is the area of sexual fetish where you dress up as a baby in a diaper, you drink milk from lactating women, you defecate on yourself in the diaper, have someone change you. You're literally acting as a child. Is that what you're referring to, caller?
Do you drink piss?
Well, that is not, I believe, a part of infantilism. So I don't think someone like George would partake in the activities with the urine.
Describe the general smell of balls.
The general smell of balls. Now, once again, the only experience I personally have is with my own. And since I bathe daily, there really isn't much of a scent.
What's your favorite thing to smell in a guy's pubic hair?
I don't smell any men's pubic hairs. It seems like that if anyone did, correct me if I'm wrong, they would want it to be as odorless as possible.
That's true.
What's the best part about being penetrated?
Best part about being penetrated. Now, I wouldn't know that. I know George said that he experienced no sexual gratification and no enjoyment from being penetrated. And so I wouldn't have any comment.
What's it like to fuck a juggalo in a parking garage?
A juggalo? Wow. I don't know what a juggalo is. Do you, Jason?
Yeah, that's someone who follows the Insane Clown Posse. And that's one of their. That's why they're marching on Washington, because FBI is claiming the juggalos are a gang, and they're against that. They tried suing them, and they tried suing the government. That didn't work, and they're going to do a march on Washington this September.
Is
now,
that
some
like
of those
a
hot? Yeah, some of those female juggalos are pretty hot. So
that
might
oh,
not
really?
Be
I didn't
bad.
Know that they had any of those. So. Is it also like a? Could it also be like a sexual fetish similar to the bronies and the furries, the people who dress up in animal costumes?
Yeah, something like that. Because a lot of the juggalos, they dress up like clowns and stuff like that. You know.
Wow.
That's but it's possible. It could be like a clown fetish or a clowny fetish. You know.
Clowny fetish. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's.
So
well,
any more questions from Anonymous? Well, I think Anonymous has dropped off, so evidently we answered his questions, I think, as thoroughly as possible. That was interesting. That went in a direction I didn't know it would go in. But
yeah, that
once again,
close. But I mean, I made up a joke last week. I was going to save it for the broadcast. I was like, because we were visited by the French last week, and why can't George be a good Frenchman?
Oh, yeah.
Well, why don't you think George should be a good Frenchman? Do you have a? I can tell you why.
Why is that?
Because every time he says "wee wee," his ass says "poop poop."
Oh my God! Oh, I'm looking at some pictures of juggalos right now. I'm disturbed.
Well, some of them are hot. Not on all of them, though.
Yeah, here's one. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's still a little freaky to me.
Yeah, it is freaky.
Oh, my God. Here's one. It's a guy. Oh, my God. I don't even want to say.
Well, not the guys. Just some of the women. Some of them. I mean, but of course you got to get the most horrific ones, you know.
Juggalos. Man, the things you learn on Martinez tonight.
But
I wanted to go to this this next soundbite from George, and we just have a few tonight, and we're going to get to Confabulation Nation. We actually have a pretty good soundbite for that. But here's the next one for George. Let's take a listen to this.
People make fun of all my books if I ever had the proper lab equipment. There are some truly evil things I could do with simple household chemicals and urine. You need masks and filters and, you know, gloves and gowns and all that stuff. But, you know, fertilizer can be used to make a bomb, as we saw in Oklahoma City. Not that I'm advocating that or anything like that. But I can make some very simple bombs out of this apartment should I want to. I have the technical knowledge. I just don't have the equipment, and I'm not about to go blow anybody up, but I know how to do it. And it's all from my reading that they all make fun of you of these books and talking to people that I knew in the Army and Special Forces and Navy SEALs and people like that I've met from time to time, and reading books on anarchy cookbooks and things like that, and figuring out some of it on my own through research.
So evidently George is thinking of, at least he's been contemplating cooking up some improvised explosive devices using his own urine and fertilizer.
That's pretty bad. I mean, actually, that could actually be used against him in a court of law if something ever happened. I mean,
yeah,
realistically, I mean, you know, that's pretty screwed up.
Yeah, no doubt. That really is kind of not very smart of George to be talking about that to anyone, really.
That's
wow.
Really bad.
that is pretty bad. And then, of course, the fact that he has met SEALs and Special Forces people over the years, and I guess they just randomly started talking about bomb making with this stranger.
Wow. I don't think that happened. I said, Douche the Monkey said, beware the send-a-bomber instead of send-a-monster. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, the send-a-bomber. I can see. Well, maybe he'll have his white crow hoodie on.
Yeah.
Like the Unabomber did.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
George will be walking around with mason jars of pee and fertilizer trying to get them to explode.
Yeah.
It's just pretty interesting. But,
man.
Yeah.
They pull off cocktails out of pee and gasoline.
Yeah, no doubt. But, you know, it really has been a slow week for George on YouTube with his videos. I mean, he has 10 videos, but the topics aren't very the topics aren't very interesting to me. And so watching them was a little bit of a labor for me this week to try to find anything to pull out of those videos. He's doing more haul videos. So he went to the Safeway store and he's doing more haul videos, which are not very interesting at all. And he explains his dietary necessities, his issues with his digestive system, his stomach, his bowels. And then he goes into the why he buys the items because of that. So I can't imagine that the comments would be very interesting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the one thing is he was talking about, you know, not having any money and stuff like that, and about not having a can of chicken broth. He could buy bouillon cubes, chicken-flavored bouillon cubes, and save a lot of money that way. you know, because like one can of chicken broth might be $1 or $1.50, and like a, you can get like a big thing of bouillon cubes, maybe 24 of them for like maybe $2 or $3 or something like that, and you can save some money that way. You know?
Yeah, and you know the easiest way to make broth is, especially if you buy the chicken leg quarters, which I buy those as well. And so what you do, and once again, this is very interesting. Do you know the difference between broth and stock?
Would stock be somewhere if you like boil the chicken and stuff like that, stock would be like what's the remaining, what you can save from the chicken, I think, or what you drain off?
Here's the difference, and you're almost right, but that's broth. Broth is when you cook like the whole chicken in water and then the liquid left over from cooking the whole chicken in water, and then stock is specifically just bones.
Oh, okay, okay.
And that's the difference between the two. But there's a way to make both, and this is what I do at home. So what I do is you buy chicken leg quarters, and then you basically just simmer that for roughly 45 minutes with a mirepoix, of course, of onion, celery, and carrots, some garlic, you know, throw in some herbs, you can put many different things in stock, especially at culinary school. They would put many, many things, the tops of green onions, the stalks of parsley. You'd use the top of the parsley, but then the stalks you would put in there. You'd put a lot of different things in there. But what you do is you cook it, and then you take the chicken out, and you take the meat off of the chicken, okay? And then you're left with the bones. Now throw the bones back in there and add a little more water and then let that cook for another hour and a half or 2 hours. Now you got a wonderful stock all for free.
Yeah. See, now this is like a public service for George and anyone else listening too. He can save money by doing this, you know?
That's right. And most people don't realize is, you make a broth and you extracted a lot of the richness and proteins and connective tissue out into the broth when you cooked the chicken itself, but those bones still have a lot of flavor in them. So, that's what you got to do. Uh-oh, someone's going to sleep.
Uh-oh.
Brick's going to sleep. Pinda Loose Teats is going to sleep. Well, once again, everybody out there, Martinez Tonight is a free show, and often you get exactly what you pay for. So I want to I have another clip here. Oh, this is one I meant to play last week. So I didn't get to it, and I felt bad. So I am going to play this clip. It's pretty interesting. It's not very long, but I think you'll find it amusing.
What I really need is to find someone I can pay and be on a video, and she would, she'd be running her hands all over me, kissing me, making out with me, sitting in my lap. Couldn't do that for too long, my knee would hurt. But, oh, Foggy, it's been you, it's always been you. I cannot stand to be away, in a little French accent or something. Oh, what can I do to please you, my master? Maybe we could find a genie outfit, like a dream of genie. Oh, and it's you, my master. I will obey and serve you and attend your every need. I know you love women, and I am here to serve you, your genie.
I mean, I just can't believe some of the things he says that he would. It seems like a fantasy of his, definitely. But the fact that he would talk to someone over the telephone, someone he's probably never even met in his life, and discuss details about his sexual fantasies is fascinating. I've never done that before in my life, but George seems to be a very open, as if there's no filter for his brain.
Yeah. I mean, I think he talks first and, you know, thinks maybe like about 3 hours later, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you also have to kind of be self-aware enough to understand too of your physical appearance. I mean, it's just something that's logical, right? Everybody wants to be, I don't know how to say it, idealistic and say, well, it's what's on the inside that counts. Someone's going to see the inside of you. Well, definitely that's very, very important. But in terms of physical attractiveness, you have to realize that you're only going to, you know, your level of physical attractiveness, you're probably going to get someone at that level, whatever it is. And, you know, I'm not going to be married to a supermodel, perhaps, but someone else that looks like Tom Brady would have no problem getting a supermodel. And I guess maybe if you're wealthy enough, you can find someone, you know, it doesn't matter if you're male or female, but if you're wealthy enough, you might find someone who will trade their time for a sugar daddy or a sugar mama. But yeah, I it's always interested me when people have unrealistic expectations about what their significant other should look like.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think you have to be practical. Yeah. And that's why, you know, that's why you can say what's on the inside really is the most important, because no matter how good looking someone is, if they're just a bad person, you're not going to want to be around them no matter how good looking they are.
Yeah, or being shallow is really bad, you know.
Yeah, shallow is a really bad quality for me. That's one of my worst ones. If you're just shallow, self-absorbed person, that's not going to work out.
Yeah, and then he did that one video. What was it about the announcement to make? And he put shallow. And then, of course, he mentioned me. But George, I think George is more shallow than anyone else. You know, put the definition for shallow being one of his videos, and he started bugging me about stuff about, like, well, back in December, I think. You know.
Oh yeah, no doubt. He is.
Yeah, the eerie eel plug.
Well, what's interesting is he lives a very simple life, right? And has for a long time. He's been homeless. He has an apartment. He has all these things, but yeah, you're right. He's very self-absorbed, and focuses so much on money, even though he doesn't have a lot. I got another, this is going to be an interesting soundbite
okay.
here. I don't know. This is definitely not about being shallow, but this is an interesting one. And we can talk about it. Here we go.
Seat break. I broke the toilet seat. I sat down on it too hard one day. It was my toilet seat. The first one, the hinges broke off. They came in here and they changed the toilet seat. I said, what the hell did you change my toilet seat for? Well, it was broken. I said, did I ask you? They charged me $45 for it. I said, I'm not going to pay for that. Why? I didn't ask you to change it. It was broken. I liked it broken. My toilet seat, not yours. And I have to do certain things. I lift the toilet seat up because my member gets caught and I peel over four. So I have to, you know, I sit without the toilet seat. Put it up. Oh, yeah. Went to Starbucks and the girl misunderstood what I was saying, and I ate it, and it was horrible. Kathy ate two of those one day. That's how I went up driving the car on the way to Sacramento. She got sick by the side of the road. Gave me this damn thing with turkey and an egg and a muffin, and an hour later, I started having terminal diarrhea. I have a very sensitive colon.
So there was a lot, actually, in that. Did you hear that? He actually preferred the broken toilet seat. I guess maybe in the state of being broken, it, because he said his member would get caught in the toilet seat.
Wow.
I mean, and then, of course, at the end, back to the irritable bowels at the end. Could you imagine the maintenance workers with the responsibility of changing George's toilet seat?
Yeah.
That would be.
I don't know. They have to go with a hazmat suits on and stuff like that.
Yeah. Again, it's like, do you have your choice? You can work in a coal mine or chain George's toilet seat. So, like, give me a pickaxe and a helmet. I'm going down in the mine.
I know.
But, yeah.
Be like the Andromeda strain or something like that.
The Andromeda strain. Oh my God, could you imagine? George is used as a biological weapon.
Oh wow.
Send him up
like Swiss Army Man or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the movie Swiss Army Man.
No, I haven't.
Oh, he ask Daniel Radcliffe and stuff like that. He can fart, and he can. This guy was riding like a jet ski. He can fart out of his ass. He's like a dead guy that has all these powers and stuff. He throws up and stuff like that. He can pull bullets down his mouth, and the guy can use them like a gun and stuff like that. It's really a bizarre film.
I just kind of see a B-52 with George's ass sticking out of the back.
Oh, God.
And oh, God. But let me see. Did I play this clip earlier? I want to see if I did or not. Hold on.
Yes.
People make fun of all my books if I ever had them.
Yeah, you know, that was the one where it went in a rather different direction. But I want to play this one.
Okay.
This is a blast from the past, and this happened a while ago, a few months back. Maybe over a year ago, Jason. But anyway, what happened was there was rumors that Area 51 drone was so mad at George that he went on a road trip and was going to cause some type of physical harm to George. So this is George talking about that.
Oh, yeah. Let's not forget the supposed trip by Area 51 drones on and on, where he was headed here with a gun to kill me a while back. And the closest he wound up was watching softcore porn in a motel in Portland, Oregon. This is from a guy who claims he was broke, but he went nuts and disappeared for, I don't know, 3 days, 2 weeks, a month, who knows. And, people are going to show up my door and beat the crap out of me and shoot me and everything else. So it's all sewer gas hype. And it's intended to make them feel self-important and give MB more money, because every page in that disgusting troll site makes him money.
So that was back when Area 51 drone was supposedly on a road trip to cause him some harm. But, George, it just seems to be winding down. I think there was the circle of trust. You have to give it to them. They were able to extract quite a bit of material that we've gone over now. This is the 7th Martinez Tonight episode, and we've gone over quite a bit. And then of course we're waiting for the release of the Falky tapes. I think it's March 3rd. So that'll be interesting to see what that looks like. Some type of full length feature film being produced out there by Douche the Monkey. Is it Douche the Monkey or Douche? What's the best way to pronounce that? And maybe in the chat room, Douche or Douche the Monkey will let me know how to pronounce the name. But, we got another caller. One moment.
Okay, here we go.
Anonymous, you're on the air at Martinez Tonight. Hello.
Chefist.
Yeah, good evening. Who is
this? You can call me Mr. Clark.
Mr. Clark, good evening. How are you, sir?
Just fine. I'd like to start off by saying I do not represent IBM. I do not speak for IBM, but I have worked there, and I'd like to clear a little something up.
Yes, Mr. Okay. Clark, is this in relation to George's story where he walked into an IBM facility off the street to help solve an abstract problem the programmers were having?
Absolutely. You know, typically, you know, we kind of take security down there at IBM a little bit more seriously than George would have you believe. And we don't have beastly bulging men staggering in off the street and wandering into the facility.
Yeah, I'm just curious, because generally in facilities like that, you have a layered approach to physical security. You'll have some type of you can't just park in the parking lot. There'll be an attendant there to make sure you have a pass, and then they'll just at when you enter the building, there'll be some type of another layer of physical security. And then, of course, most of the building would be compartmentalized. You would have access to some parts of the building and not others, correct?
Exactly. And the same thing with looking at the code for the software. If you're on Project A, you have access to Project A's code, but you don't have access to Project B's, and you know, we just don't have outsiders, you know, just kind of wandering around looking at things.
Correct. It would be almost impossible. You wouldn't have access to the building. But let's go back to just the claim. Once again, this is George has difficulties being able to even use a PC. He claims to be a Mac, quote-unquote Mac guy, which is or Apple products, and personal computers he seems to be fairly unskilled with. So what are the odds that he's going to be, even if he did gain access, and there's this group of programmers huddled around one monitor, evidently, that he's going to be able to look at the specific code and be able to fix their problem?
Not bloody likely. You know, obviously, he's kind of an idiot abroad, but he's not even abroad. You know, he's just wandering around his little area there. But,
well, that's interesting, Mr. Clark.
We have
and,
gotten a chuckle out of it, and he has kind of popped up on our radar screen a little bit, and we have gotten a laugh out of that, but certainly we take security a little bit more seriously than you know, he would lend you to believe.
Right. I actually, when I was in the Air Force, worked on an IBM mainframe computer, and I was just an operator. I was not a programmer. So I was hanging tapes and running programs, making sure they ended properly, reporting just the basic things of computer operation for a mainframe. But I know that there would have been no way that someone can just walk in, let alone look at all the code that the programmers coded quickly and be able to find a problem, especially if you know anything about the type of programming that was being used. This was SAS programming in the type of processing that was going on where I worked.
Yeah. Well, know a little bit about that. That was, you know, quite some time ago, and things have changed a little bit. But some of that stuff is still being done. Now, as far as, you know, the Dr. Salk thing and hanging with John Wayne and that, all that could be perfectly plausible. But just wanted to point out that, you know, this IBM thing, I can't buy.
Yeah, you're right. When you talk about plausibility, definitely more plausible running into a famous person than it would be actually solving some type of hyper-technical issue at International Business Machines.
Exactly.
Well, great.
Well,
did you have
a little
any
brush with fame, but that part of it, I just wanted to clear that up.
Very good. Well, we appreciate you calling in, Mr. Clark.
Sure thing, Sheffis. Take care, Callan.
Yep. Nice talking to you, buddy.
Yep. Bye.
All right. Thank
Bye.
You. All right, everybody. That was Mr. Clark calling in. That was a good call to rebuke that story. And you know what? While we're at it, this is great. Why don't we just go ahead?
This is the world of Commander McCragg.
Your hair will curl in the world of McCragg.
He fights monsters galore and then asks for still more.
For so says the brag of McCragg.
Okay, guys, it's Confabulation Nation. It's that time of the show where we jump into a little bit of the claims, the wild claims, the amazing claims that George has made over the years. We got a good one, and this one came up last week. The marker, and supposedly the marker from the Hell's Angels, George could call in any time against his enemies. And why don't we get into it?
Well, no, if I really wanted to go after him, I have one marker, and I told MD that. I told Bateman that. I have one marker with a criminal organization, or at least they're accused of being a criminal organization. I got offered a job when I was 16 to be a courier for them. And I told the head of the organization, I don't want to go to jail and be the cellmate of Bubba.
with my dick up my ass. Little did I know I was psychic once again. But, and that's another issue I have with Drone. I blew my stack out in the day for, I told you this in confidence, and what did you do when you got mad at me? You published all over Belgium, you asshole. I really don't got mad at him. I said, you have no conscience, you have no ethics, you have no morals, just like little Chris. And they're saying that it never happened. I made it, and that the sentence they got, they gave them a cut down sentence because there was doubts as to my veracity. Because on the bus going to the jail, when I was taken away from San Francisco because I didn't call my probation officer, I was handcuffed. This guy, my hand slipped on his leg, and he punched me in the head because he said I was gay, and so they all thought I was gay. I wasn't gay. I was still a fucking virgin. I was 20 years old. But anyway, they went to court. I testified against them. They all got a year. They had to get a year. They got a year added on to their sentences. Now, someone posted a statute 8 years. That doesn't mean the judge has to follow that. I know. I've been on the other side of the docket as a defendant. The judge can sentence you to anything he wants to under the law. They all got a year added on to their. One of them, I don't remember where all of them came from, but I know one of them came from Folsom. But mind you, that's 1972. It's a little vague, and after that, I had a fucking nervous breakdown and wandered the street for 6 months. I got bailed out and had a nervous breakdown and got picked up by the cops and sent back to L.A. for 56 days.
Okay.
God almighty.
So yeah, this one started off as a Confabulation Nation bite, but then it ended with another bizarre story about George being sent back to L.A. for 56 days. Why that particular time period? I don't know why it's so precise and exact. But the fact that he was hit in the head while he was handcuffed to another prisoner, and poor George, I mean, I don't know if it's true, and that's just it. Is he just making these stories up? I think some of them definitely have to be true. Why would you make up a story about being abused? Why would you make up a story about being in jail and handcuffed to other prisoners? I don't think you would make up that type of story, would you?
I don't know. Maybe it's another one of his fantasies. You never know.
Yeah, or just trying to get sympathy for grifting and panhandling.
Yeah. He'd probably want to be handcuffed to I Dream a Genie, though.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he would like that. And, in one of his other ones, he said he would, he dressed up as a pirate. That was one of his fantasies, sexual fantasies, was he and Kathy dressed up as pirates. So, that would be. Could you imagine dressed up as a pirate and then
well, he's from Pittsburgh, so, you know.
That's right. He dressed up as a pirate and this.
Yeah, I would have gone over there and sucked the hell out of those tits and the milk and fucked the shit out of it. I've done that with a woman, and it gets me turned on for some reason. Don't ask me why.
There's that one. And then there's, of course, this famous one. Imagine being dressed up as a pirate and seeing this.
And she had a root beer bottle shoved up her ass. Couldn't see it very clearly. But my favorite of all time is twofold. This woman had a fucking glass bottle of Coca-Cola sticking out of her ass. And then she had another picture. She had a full fucking magnum of champagne. She had it with the neck sticking out. The bottom was up her ass. Bitch had a fucking Dom Perignon magnum with the label still attached to it. The gold foil, just a plastic or whatever they had for the cork sticking out of her ass, neck and everything.
Wow. He might need to do that every time he has incontinence, and he will save himself a lot of cleaning. You know what I mean? He'll be bound over.
Like a bottle filling machine. Yeah. It'd be like that. There's a video where it's off of Hoarders, and Bateman posted it here a couple of weeks ago, but there was this woman hoarder who would hoard all of her own feces.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and she would keep all the feces in old milk jugs and soda jugs and bottles, and she kept them all in her house.
Wow.
And it's just definitely she had some mental issues, psychological issues, but that went to the bazaar. And they, of course, were really worried for her because they thought she was going to become infected and die. But yeah, that was pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
And someone, Lobster Popsicle in the chat room, Falky's mom and dad died of shame, not cancer, not heart attacks. Shame.
Maybe he should use that thing that they had on Tim and Eric, that thing that strapped on your ass when you took a shit and it went right in the urinal. Remember that?
No.
They had that on Tim and Eric a long time ago. And Cartoon Network said, don't eat anything like 5 minutes in a show. Not even kidding.
Oh, my
God. I could find that.
Oh,
man,
my God. That's too much. But, that's just crazy. Hey, well, you know, I'm going to go to chat room shout-outs, everybody.
Okay, buddy.
Just, I think it's that time of the show for chat room shout-outs. Everyone loves it. We don't have as many people in the chat this week. I think we're getting a little falkied out here on Martinez tonight. I might be ending the show early, taking a little couple of 3 weeks break as I set up the studio for the next show anyway.
Okay.
We're going to do some shout-outs here. Once again, thanks to MV and Curtis and everybody that helps make this thing happen. But our first one is Badunkadunk, Badunkadunk. Welcome, Badunkadunk, to the show. How's it going? Blue Waffle Iron in the house. What's going on, Brig? Hey, Brig, what's up? Buddy One in the house. Buddy One. We got David Bowie. David Bowie in the house. And that's because you didn't call him David Bowie. You called him, George called him David Bowie, not David Bowie. The Douche the Monkey is in the house. What's up, Douche? We got Jason, of course. Lobster Popsicle. Masix Gorillin. What's up, Masix Gorillin? Oh, shit. Just oh, shit in the room. Prairie Ghost. Hey, what's going on, Prairie Ghost? And then we got Rose Girl. Hey, Rose Girl, what's going on? Welcome back. Spaceman Spiff. What's up, Spaceman Spiff? And we got Spy Cam 2. Spy Cam 2. And the Hacienda Hero's in the house. So we don't got a lot of people here tonight. But, man, this is going to be – which name did you like, Jason?
I like David Bowie just because of reference to that thing he said. I think that's kind of funny. But oh, shit's good, too.
I think you're right. Okay, we're going to give honorable mention to – Spy Cam 2.
There you go.
Kind of like, you know, Lobster Popsicle is pretty good. We're going to split between Lobster Popsicle and Spy Cam 2 for the honorable mention. And then David Bowie wins this week. Good job, David Bowie. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that's really weird is he mentioned he didn't see The Man Who Fell to Earth. And I thought that that would be in his wheelhouse because that's the science fiction film where Alien Comes to Earth. It's a very strange one. Written by Buck Henry from Saturday Night Live. But
yeah,
I
that's right.
We actually watched that movie.
Oh, exactly.
I never saw it.
Yeah, I have seen it. That and The Day the Earth Stood Still are two oldies that are still very, very good movies.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And,
I like The Silent Earth, too. That was a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. And then one of my favorites is, let me go back to old UFO movies, UFO and alien movies, is it was a Twilight Zone episode, How to Serve Humans.
Oh, yeah. It was a cookbook. That was so awesome.
That's right. And that's
that.
What the whole series V, remember V back in the 80s, and then they tried to remake it a couple of years ago. And then so many movies were just based off of How to Serve Humans. So, yeah, that's really good
stuff.
And then
It went full circle with Soylent Green, too, remember?
Oh, yeah, Soylent Green. Soylent Green is people! Those were great. Actually, those the dystopic Charlton Heston movies of the late 60s and early 70s were some of the best. Of course, most would agree that The Planet of the Apes was the best.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The dystopic genre of that time. But one of my favorites was The Omega Man.
Yes, definitely. And then Vincent Price did Last Man on Earth about, I don't know, 10 or 15 years before that, too.
Yeah.
Which is good also.
That was a really good one.
Yeah.
But,
the Apes, whenever the TV show came on, I remember when I was real little, and it was preempted by Richard Nixon, presidential speech, I said, oh, man, I don't want to see Planet Apes. I don't want to see President Nixon. My dad said, I don't want to see President Nixon either. You know, that's an old, old clip. I remember that from when I was real little, you know.
Oh, man, those were all great ones. And, people are going back and revisiting a lot of the old science fiction movies and realizing how good they were. Hey, in the chat, I know you're a little disgruntled. We're not talking much about George, but it's been a slow week. George really hasn't posted much. The Circle hasn't released much. Harbinger hasn't released much. There hasn't been a lot going on. I mean, if you want to call into the show, once again, Martinez Tonight, 929-477-3181. 929-477-3181, and bring up some topics to talk about George. You're more than welcome to do that.
Yeah.
And,
I'm trying to help you out because you're my buddy, Chef.
You're doing great, man. I love having you call in. This
uh-huh.
is fun. But it looks like Brig's giving me a hard time, so I think we're just going to shut the show down and we'll blame it on Brig. So,
Tom. Yeah, she was doing the whole French thing, that one video.
David Bowie is going to – I'm going to get that royalty check out. You know, there's a I want to go on a little bit, a little bell gab, insider gossip right now, and that's the people we miss. I really wanted to go in on this simply because there are people that I know that used to post that I really enjoyed reading their posts. There's some that don't post that I don't care if they ever post again. But I think it's an important topic, and I'd really like some people, either you can either call in or just in the chat room. In the chat room, you can list the names of some of the people you miss. Inglorious Bitch, Lobster Popsicle wrote. She has been off and on there, and she's never really said she was going to stop posting for any particular reason. Maybe she's just busy in her life. And I miss Inglorious Bitch. One of mine, and I've mentioned before, is Eddie Coyle. Now, a lot of these people left before you came on the board there, Jason, so you might not know it. But Eddie Coyle he would always make me laugh. And Coaster the same way. He was always hilarious. He comes back and posts every once in a while, and I wish he'd post more, but his only posts lately have been just complaining about Bell Gab, complaining about the Falky Musings thread, and complaining about the people that don't post anymore. And this is something I just want to bring up. You know, Bell Gab is just a website. It's just a forum that you type text on. Yeah, there's people behind the text, but that's all it is. And so to really take it for more than what it is, I think is a mistake. And you get out of it what you put into it. And if you ignore the things that might bother you, or you ignore the people that aren't necessarily interesting to you, and then you just kind of interact with those that you do, or you just read it and love all of it. I'm just curious as to why anyone would want to just complain about the people that don't post anymore. And that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. And so Nancy Burns, someone says they missed Nancy Burns. Now, Nancy Burns, I don't know if you know it, but there was an old show out there called UFO Hunters. Do you remember that show, Jason?
I don't think I've seen that one. I saw Project
it was on, I can't remember if it was on Sci-Fi. I think it was on Sci-Fi. And she's married to Bill Burns, who is one of the UFO hunters on that show. And they've written many, many paranormal books about UFOs. I think primarily UFOs, but they may have done other topics. And she used to post on there all the time. I miss Rose Girl. David, there's a poster named Rose Girl that would get into a lot of fights, especially with MV. So, Rose Girl, she had a show with Nancy Burns that came on right after Midnight in the Desert, when Art Bell started Midnight in the Desert in July 2015, and they had a show. And today is Nancy Burns' birthday. Yeah, that is correct. Happy birthday, Nancy Burns. And they have a show out there called, is it Future Theater? Yeah, Future Theater, which is a pretty good show. And they interview different people. So in this whole paranormal universe, the way the shows work is you start a podcast generally, but there's some on radio, and then you get paranormal quote unquote experts to talk to. And then you sit there and talk to paranormal experts. But yeah, that's that genre. The trouble is there's like a million shows about the topic. And I think it's getting a little played out. We did have Redacted in the chat room earlier. I don't think it was the real Redacted, but that would be hilarious if it was. I think a lot, I don't know. Here's a question for all you bell gabbers out there. How many people miss Redacted, and her real name is Heather Wade, posting on bell gab? How many people miss that? I don't know. She has her own show. She took over for Art Bell, Midnight in the Desert. And that thread used to be a fan thread, but I don't know how many fans are there anymore. It's more people complaining about the show. Yeah, but no, you see, here's a good example. I was looking in the chat, and no one's really putting any names of anyone they miss. So there's, I don't really, maybe no one misses anybody. And it's kind of true, though, because once you're gone for a while, people kind of forget about you.
Yeah, and, just like in wrestling. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yep, I remember. It's just the same thing. If your name isn't out there in front of it, you forget about it. And that's, believe it or not, and that drives a lot of advertising dollars, because people would say, okay, why would someone like Coca-Cola or Pepsi or Budweiser need to advertise? Everybody knows who they are, right?
Yeah.
Well, really, it all comes down to psychology. They just want to keep their name there in front of you, so you don't forget. It's just kind of like programming. That's what they're doing, and it's just a programming. Oh, yeah, Coke sounds good, or oh, Budweiser sounds good, or whatever it is. Everybody knows what it is, but they just want to keep their name there in front of you so you don't forget about them.
That's true.
Yeah. No. Okay, here's a, yeah, I miss Falky 2013. You got to remember, George used to post a lot on Bell Gab. That's how this whole thing started. He would post a lot, and then he would get banned a couple of times, but now, of course, he's just stopped posting completely. And so, yeah, that's that. And then someone else misses Onan. A lot of people miss Onan, and he comes back and posts every once in a while. But once again, it's usually complaining about not having people who used to post on there, or complaining about something. So, yeah, it's like there's a difference between posting and then just complaining about the way things are. But so, Jason, who do you like for the Super Bowl?
In a lot of ways, it's not as much fun that the Steelers aren't going to be in it, though.
But, oh, yeah,
I mean,
being from Pennsylvania, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the Patriots, but I'm going to say they're probably going to win, even though I'd rather have the Falcons win, you know.
Oh, because they've never won before?
Yeah, I mean, because I'm not a big Patriots fan. Or I will say I give George credit for calling the Deflatriots. I thought that was funny.
Deflatriots. I've never heard that
and
one.
And then he called Lady Gaga Lady Goo Goo. I thought that was kind of funny, too. I'll give him credit
Lady
for
Goo Goo.
That.
Yeah. There you go, George. You're getting credit out there. Even from
he
your arch nemesis, Jason Callen.
Yeah, the evil Jason Callen. And enjoy the lime scum like Jason Callen. For people who are fans of his and not fans of mine. Bye-bye. But, I mean, the thing is, with imitating George, kind of sound like, you got to kind of sound like Walter Cronkite, you know, a little bit, the way he talks sometimes.
Yeah, you
know?
Do.
Yeah, he goes, and that's the way it is. I shit my pants, you know.
He does. Now, one of the words he said this week, which I found interesting, Earth, the planet Earth, he called it Ert,
yeah.
Like U-R-T.
Yeah, like
fell back to Earth.
Neanderthal instead of Neanderthal.
Neanderthal.
You know?
Yeah, I've never heard anybody call Earth Ert before.
Yeah, I don't Maybe he's got some. He's got some Klingon still stuck on him.
I had that in the intro.
Has no honor. You know, it's like, oh my.
That's right. Well, we got to do it then. Here we go.
This is Jim Rockford at the tone. Leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
Quav da hut na chu. Jason Callan completely lacks honor.
Oh, man. But, well, you know what? I think Pittsburgh did a pretty good job this year. Man, it's just with the offense, their offense, just for a lot of the year, they just seem to be very, they call it the prevent offense, where they just seem very cautious.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, yeah, it's just, the whole thing was just strange, you know.
Yeah.
It'd just been nice. I mean, you can't have it every time, you know.
No, you can't. And to be a champion, it takes a lot of things falling into place. And it's just amazing how just one or two key players makes all the difference.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, that's it. Hey, we got a few more in the chat room. I'm going to do some shout outs here. We got some newcomers in here.
Yep.
Unfortunately David Bowie won. So if you're new and we have Megaclit in the house. Welcome Megaclit. You got Useless Eater. Welcome Useless Eater in the house. Welcome Walks at Night. Hey Walks at Night. What's going on, man? Lobster Popsicle said, tell Jason it's the Eagles' turn. Let another Pennsylvania team win.
Okay, that worked too.
Would you root for the Eagles if they were doing good?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I know.
That one person, Megaclit, that sounds like a female metal band, maybe, you know?
That would be a great name, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Megaclit. Iron Clit.
Oh, man.
Oh, geez. Once again, you're listening to Martinez Tonight. This is Chef, this is your host. We got Jason Callan on the line. If you want to call in, 929-477-3181, 929-477-3181. It's kind of a chill night tonight. We have about a half as many people in the chat as we had last week and the last couple of weeks. Like I said, this is a very esoteric show. Either you're interested in what's happening in the life of George Senda or you're not. So
I was curious,
to this show.
Yeah. I was curious. Did you want to talk about the Indian fry bread? You mentioned that in the.
Yeah. I'm going to put Brig to sleep again. She seems to be the instigator here tonight, which is good. We always need an instigator.
Yes.
But Indian fry
bread. I know Brig doesn't like me, but she's cool.
No, she's cool. I think she does it just to bust balls.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
Yeah, so, Jason, perhaps you guys and out there, and you can list the foods in the chat room. That'd be great. But one of the fun things that my daughter and I like to do is to go to fairs and carnivals and have carny food. Yes, carny food. There's a lot of different types of carny food out there. So, Jason, what's some of your favorite carny food? And you should do a video on that, like go to a carnival and go around.
Well, I've done some stuff from the Albion Fair. One of the things that I really like is like the homemade French fries they have, or the hot sausage sandwiches with the grilled pepper and the onion. You know, that's really good too.
Yeah, you know, the fries are huge now, and they got a lot of different ones. They have, like, the curly ones that are in a complete curl.
Yeah.
Have you seen those?
Yeah, those are good. I mean, it's weird because mine is kind of like, I know they've gotten rid of some of the vendors and stuff like that, and they made way for more rides and stuff. They had a thing of gyros down there, or the gyros. Those were really good. I like those. You know, I like...
Do you have the turkey legs?
Yeah, they had the turkey leg down there. Those are good, too. They had the steak sandwiches, grilled corn.
Yeah, the grilled corn, the roasted corn is getting, I think, more popular than it's ever gotten.
Yeah.
Someone said
down here in the Southwest,
I saw
that's
Dave
a huge Drops thing.
Reviewed that, but they don't have it down in the Albion Fair. I would definitely try that, even though it's not healthy for you. But most of that stuff isn't, you know.
Oh no, most of that isn't. But now Indian fry bread. Now my daughter and I, that's one of the particular treats that we have. It's either called Navajo fry bread or Indian fry bread. Do you have that out east?
No. We just
wow,
have, like,
you're
the
missing
place,
it.
And that's about it. We don't have the Indian fry bread. I wish we did.
Yeah, you probably have the famous funnel cakes.
Yeah.
Which is always super popular. But Indian fry bread, it is a very, very basic dough. We're talking, you can make it one of either two ways, but it's just a basic dough. We're talking about 2 cups of flour, a tablespoon of baking powder, and a teaspoon of salt and water. And use warm water when you mix it up, and that makes the dough smooth. So what you do is you just, once again, it's 2 cups of flour, teaspoon of salt, a tablespoon of baking powder, and warm water. And usually for that 2 cups there, you're looking at about, 2/3 of a cup of hot water, but you want to play around with it. Bring the dough together, rest it for about, so it's easy to work with. You don't need to knead it very much. Rest it for 30 minutes, and then you can start. You roll it out into a cylinder, and then you cut basically 1-inch segments, and then you roll that segment out with a little flour and a rolling pin. And I say you're going to go to about 1/8 of an inch thick. And, I said salt. That's 1 teaspoon of salt to 2 cups of flour. But you roll out thick, and then you're going to want to fry it. And then the best way to fry it is about 50-50 lard and oil. And the lard is very important. It gives it the flavor, but also the traditional flavor of what Native Americans or anyone would have used for frying. And then you basically – it's pretty warm. I'd say you're at about 370 on the heat. And then you just fry it on one side. It'll brown, turn it over brown, and then you drain it standing up on a side in a rack. And then now what's most important, and then you salt it as soon as it comes out of the fryer. Drain off most of the fat, salt it a little bit, and let it drain more thoroughly. But it's the toppings. The toppings are what also make it. And there's just a million types of toppings. I like one that just has Parmesan cheese on it. You basically grate the Parmesan cheese over it while it's still hot and it melts on top. That's awesome. But also, the one my daughter loves is on it, you basically put chili. So make a good chili. You put the chili on top of it or refried beans. It's your choice. And you put chili or refried beans on it. Then you put chopped lettuce and then some shredded cheese. They'll put either shredded yellow cheese, kind of like a cheddar cheese, or they'll put queso fresco. I actually prefer queso fresco. And then sliced avocados, and you put lime juice all over that.
Well, that sounds good.
Oh, man. It's so good. I only eat it once a year. And it's kind of nice, though. It's one of those things, yeah, you only eat it once a year, but you look forward to it. It's kind of a tradition. Go to the fair, go on some rides, have a little fun, and then get your Indian fry bread. And they, what do they call it? They have a special name for that one. It's like a, is it a taco fry bread? They have a name for it. But it's something we really. And then of course you could make a dessert one. They you could top it with cinnamon sugar, caramel sauce, chocolate sauce, and then you can make them into desserts too.
That sounds really good. I mean, because we just have, like, limited toppings and stuff like that. I mean, they're not as manageable at the Albion Fair. You know, they might have, like, powdered sugar, just maybe, like, a little bit of fruit or something like that. That's about it, you know?
Right, exactly. And for us, it's about making memories and traditions. And then, of course, we won't eat for the rest of the day because the thing is with Indian fry bread, it's so good. But it is very, very fatty because that, I mean, it's basically a big donut. And, of course, we all know what donuts do.
I know, like, I had a deep fried Snickers bar, and after that, you just like want to take a nap, you know. It's,
oh yeah, so, it just that dough just soaks up the fat from the deep fat fryer. Elephant ear. Someone put an elephant ear. Cindapizza put that up. Yeah, it's like an elephant ear. That's exactly right. And there is a place out here that makes it all year round. We have a lot of native reservations here. And there's one place that they have a Navajo fry bread stand, and you could go all year. But my daughter and I specifically don't do that because we wait for the fair to come into town. But, yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the fried Snickers because that's popular, too, at fairs. And also down at Fremont Street in Las Vegas, they have fried Twinkies. Of course, they have the fried Snickers, fried Oreos. They have several different
fried items. I had fried Reese's Peanut Butter Cups before.
Oh, I've never heard of that. Wow,
yeah,
it seems like those things would melt.
Yeah, they got one called fried bacon. Deep fried bacon. I've never had that before.
Yeah, I don't know. Bacon's just pretty good by itself.
I know. I mean, they come up with so many different things, you know. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, yeah, someone says I should do a webcam of cooking. Yeah, I might do that sometime. I need to set that up. Yeah. Heart Attack Grill. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's on Fremont Street. So there, they have a scale outside, and I think anybody over 300 pounds eats for free.
Wow, George should check that out.
He's over 300. He could eat for free. And then there at the Heart Attack Grill, they fry all of their French fries in lard. I know.
Yeah. Wow.
And they have a all-you-can-eat French fry station where they just keep it loaded with French fries and you go help yourself.
Oh, wow. That's
and then, of course, the waitresses are all scantily clad nurse uniforms. And so if you don't die from the food, the quantity of food, the cholesterol, the calories, whatever, you know, you'll die from the pretty waitresses serving you. But
then they said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but they said if you don't eat everything, you get paddled by them.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Now, there was one in Phoenix, I believe. And someone did have a heart attack in it.
Yeah.
And I think they closed it down.
Yeah, that was the guy that was promoting it, too. You know, he was on the commercials and stuff like that. And he said he didn't have a heart attack.
Oh. But what's interesting about that place is I think it's very important. Anytime you go out anywhere, especially in a new town, look at those Google reviews of that restaurant. It's very important, and actually the quality of the food at that place doesn't get a very high Google review. It only gets about a 3.6, and I don't go to anyone that gets below a 4. You have to be a 4.0 or above, and then I go to it. And that place doesn't get very high. And what's interesting is there's a lot of places in Las Vegas has a lot of food. It has a lot of good food, but they have a lot of places that just are not that good. And even Gordon Ramsay. So everyone knows who Gordon Ramsay is. And he's got several restaurants there. And he has at least 2 burger restaurants. And his burger restaurants do not get a 4. They're under 4. So you just have to be careful out there. There's a lot of places that get above 4 in Las Vegas that are excellent. So you just have to do your homework. But
they had something on the news a little bit different about this one restaurant that they had a controversy there. And I guess, you know, they had someone took us the help wanted sign. They showed a photo of it and it went viral. Right. And
oh, really?
Then the lady who ran the place said help wanted and said no minorities wanted. And she took a photo of that. Well, someone took a photo of that and it went viral. And then when the lady found out about it, she apologized. She said her English wasn't too good. And what she meant was no minors needed. And that's a huge difference. And she had to apologize and stuff like that. That was on the local news. I don't know where that restaurant was somewhere. That's going to be really embarrassing.
Oh, that's bad. Well, I could see that happening, though. You know, if you don't know the English language very well, and to see that. It always, like, the one thing that always makes me laugh, there's the Chinese restaurant and the names they put on the men's room and the ladies' room. They always have something. So I went to this one Chinese restaurant, and it was lady, not plural, but singular, lady, and the men's room was just man, singular. Lady man. Oh, that always makes me laugh. Lady man.
That reminds me, they had a trauma movie called Terraformer, and they had the guys from South Park, and they had, like, it was about transgender, and they had, like, the men's bathroom and the women's bathroom in the middle. They had transgender, and it was like a little bucket you'd go in, and they had them using it in that movie, too.
Ah, the bucket. A diaper. They had some diapers hanging up. Hey, there's a chat room question from Lobster Popsicle. Jason, have you ever ate at Primanti's?
I didn't eat the one in Pittsburgh, but there's one in Erie, PA. I ate at that, and I can send you guys the link to that in Belgab if you guys are interested.
Oh, yeah, put that on your thread, because I've seen that video.
Yeah, I can put it on my thread, too. I wanted to thank Damon for creating my thread, too. Thank you, buddy.
All right, Damon.
Oh, and also thanking 6 Week Tenure and Fifi for sending me that great package and inviting me to that great get-together for the Circle of Trust minus George. I want to thank them for that,
man.
Too.
I can't wait for that. I also want to do that live show from the yacht.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I think we might have to take a couple of weeks off of Martinez tonight. Get ready for that live yacht broadcast. And,
oh, I wanted to thank Duche the Monkey saying I know my trauma movies. I love trauma movies.
Oh, yeah, like, that's, I saw you guys talking about that.
Yeah.
Now, Primanti, is it Primanti?
I believe it's Primanti. Yeah, I went to the one in Erie. They had one in Erie that opened up.
Yeah, so now they're famous for their sandwiches are big, but it's also they put French fries on it, right?
Yeah, French fries and coleslaw and all this good stuff in it, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And the coleslaw, is it a creamy coleslaw or is it a vinegar-based?
It's more of a vinegar-based one.
Oh, that's nice. Those are the ones I prefer because I hate mayonnaise. Never have been able to eat mayonnaise in my life, so I always like that. But, yeah, also the Carnegie Deli in New York closed down.
I would love to try that place, but, I mean, you know, the sandwiches look really good, but I didn't have it, was able to go down there, you know. But
right.
They look great.
Oh, man, those pastrami ones, those huge ones, they look like they're about a foot tall.
Oh, yeah.
Damn. Yeah, I like
that. I wish I had one right now. You know,
yeah,
but
oh, man.
It wouldn't be good for the call. It'd be like Georgie with that pizza that Rally Squirrel sent him.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Hey, Curtis is in the chat room, the Mud King. Thanks a lot, Curtis, for letting
me
use the chat room. Everyone really appreciates it. And he wants to know, will there be mayo? And there's always going to be mayo if you want it. Hey, I wanted to go over another topic tonight. There are one of the things that really fascinates me and is, always has are wait, we got a call. Hold on.
Okay, awesome.
916, you're on Martinez tonight. Hello.
Hello, Chefus. Hello, Jason. It's me, Damon.
Hi, buddy.
Oh, hey, Damon. How's it going?
Oh, pretty good. Not much. I tried to call in and say hello to everybody and Martinez live. So by the way, after I saw Falky's videos, I cannot enjoy any mayo.
Yeah, me either.
Oh, God. I had I wish I could play something for you right now, but there's one clip about mayonnaise. I'll put it up next week. But So Damon, what else has been going on? Any word from George? Has he been communicating with you, or has he gone dark?
He's gone dark with me and stuff. So I'll probably shoot him an email tomorrow to ask him about the Super Bowl and stuff. So
yeah, I'll see what he says. I know he's been a bit lonely. He's been reaching out to different people, from what I've heard.
Yeah, he is a man child, so.
Yeah, I think he's definitely winding down. Maybe he'll just take a little break for a while, but I know he won't be able to keep away. We need each other. Sure if, George knows that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you. I'm not sure if you saw in the post the Falcon throw. I did update the spy cameras in his apartment to 4K and ultra high def and for $4.99 a month.
4K,
all that money
3D.
To, yeah, because I put that in the money will be going to a trust account for just for the cats, for the cat food and vet bills for the cats, so George can't have access to the money.
You know, that's
interesting. Go to the dark web.
Yeah, the cat food, because this week in one of his videos, he mentioned specifically those cats that he feeds that one had knocked over their food bowl or water bowl or something, and that the cats actually belonged to someone else. So George is out feeding cats that actually belong to someone else. That seems a little bizarre. Why would you do that?
Well, anything's possible. Everything belongs to Falcon's world, so...
Even though he says
he's a Trump supporter and a conservative, but he wants to take our money through our taxes and our hard-earned money to send him money and stuff so he can buy useless shit in the pawn shop to get loans from there and then pay interest, and the cycle keeps going over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, I don't know what's next for George, because he's posting his YouTube videos. Now, when he says he has a forum, what forum specifically is he talking about? Do you know, Damon?
He did create a forum, which nobody visits. So it's like, last time I checked, it was like 12 members, and all of them are pretty much the bell gabbers are on there, because I have a couple on there, basically, which I haven't used in a while. And again, V has one on there and a couple other people. And pretty much he's a forum Nazi. Basically, you type anything in there, he automatically edits in their stuff, so it takes you out of context. And if you say you're a bell gabber, he automatically bans you. So it's pretty much so he doesn't have a lot of – they told, like, last I checked, like 12 members, and – he's the only one that really posts on their stuff, and so it's kind of.
I think he links to it on his YouTube channel. I think there's a link there.
Yeah, it is. It's like I said, last time I checked, it's been months now. So it's like there's only like 12 members, and two of them are mine, one's in V's, and mostly it's bell gabbers, which none of us really post there anymore. So.
Yeah, I think I went there once. If I got the right one, I think he only has one, but yeah, no one was posting. But the recipe for the Indian fry bread, I'll put that up on the Falky. Well, no, I'll put that with the cooking with Chef's thread. I'll put up the fry bread recipe and also a link to a YouTube video that it does a pretty good job of making it. And but I'll have to. The taco salad fry bread. I forget exactly what they call it, but that's the one that is phenomenal, just to let you know. Yeah, you need a lot of shake weight workouts after doing that one.
Wow.
But also, guys, I want to go over something that I find rather interesting. It's a story that's been out there, and maybe you heard of it, maybe you haven't, but it is the story of the unusual death of the Jameson family. And the Jameson, I find true crime fascinating. This is a true crime story, and also with a little twist, it has not been solved, and they don't know what happened. But let's go back. And this is a family. There's a mother, a father. They had a young 6-year-old daughter. The Jameson family in Eufaula, Oklahoma. And Eufaula is out in the middle of nowhere in Oklahoma, but near a wooded area and near some mountains, smaller mountains, hills, you could say. And the family hadn't been heard of. They had friends and family in the area. And they were looking to purchase a 40-acre plot near Red Oak, Oklahoma, about 30 miles from Eufaula, Oklahoma. At the time of their disappearance, their suspected remains were found on November 15th. So they... this was a long time. We're talking about they were reported disappeared on October 8th, 2009, and their remains were not found until November of 2013. So we're talking 4 years later before their remains were found. So that during that 4 year period of time is when the myth and the story of the Jameson family really began to take shape. It was very mysterious. So the initial investigation to the Jameson's family disappearance indicated that they had probably not vanished on their own accord. Jameson's pickup truck was discovered within a few days abandoned at Latimer County, Oklahoma, short distance south of the town of Kenta. Jameson's body were not bound, but their dog was still in the truck. The dog was malnourished after days of going without food or water. Police also discovered Jameson's IDs, wallets, mobile phones, a GPS system, and $32,000 in cash in the truck. Jamesons were known for carrying large amounts of cash with them. And several theories emerged about the family's disappearance, such as they either faked their own deaths, or they're in a witness protection program, or they were killed or had committed group suicide. Shortly before the disappearance, Bobby Jameson was involved in a bitter lawsuit with his father, and his father had threatened his family, but police do not believe his father was part of the disappearance. Now, another popular theory that the Jamesons were involved in drugs and drug dealings. Investigators cited a large amount of cash found in the Jameson's truck, and the apparent strange behavior exhibited by Bobby and Sherilyn Jameson shortly before they went missing. Bobby and Sherilyn had reportedly told their pastor on several occasions that they had seen spirits inside of their home. So they thought that their home was haunted. Sherilyn's mother, Connie, believes that the family were killed by members of a violent cult. She also has firmly denied that Jamesons were involved in drugs or witchcraft, because the other story is that Sherilyn Jameson was a witch, and that actually some type of literature or a witch's Bible was found at the scene. Now, once again, you had 4 years of which there could be a lot of urban myths and legends popping up in this story, because it was 4 years before they found the bodies. They did finally find the bodies. Unfortunately, due to the amount of decay, they were not able to determine a cause of death. So they didn't necessarily find bullet wounds or broken bones from bullets. But what the scary thing is, it's very similar to the McStay family murder and case. This is another one where, once again, family went missing. They couldn't find them, and then they found them in the woods dead later on in the future. And these types of stories fascinate me. Yeah, the occult is rumored to be involved. However, I just don't know. You had 4 years once again, and they found this book in the house. You know, someone planted it there. She was a witch or a Wiccan. Who knows? There's a great video out there, and you can go find it on YouTube, and it's under Disappeared. There's a show called Disappeared, and it's Paradise Lost. So just go to YouTube and put Disappeared, Paradise Lost, and you can watch that really great episode. But there are these stories of just these random murders of families, and no one knows why. Now, yeah, David Politis does this type of stuff. I should ask Redacted to call in. But David Politis is a guy who studies these disappearances. Now, for him, the problem with David Politis, he's kind of just like a tease. He never speculates on what could have caused people to disappear. And primarily, the reason they disappear, they would be single people that have disappeared, not whole families. So someone went out walking or whatever. And that's pretty easy to explain. The number one cause of death of anyone out hiking or walking around is exposure. A good example is close to where I live. It was a very, very hot summer. And right off the interstate, an elderly couple had pulled off, and I think their car had ran out of gas. And we're talking right next to a rather busy interstate. Both died. The husband... Wow. Had walked and just made about 100 yards and died, and the woman died in the car from heat exposure. And this happened right off of a busy interstate. So you can imagine, if someone is out hiking in the woods, exposure whether it be to heat or cold, can cause your death quickly. As a matter of fact, when you're in a survival mode, the first thing you have to do is to take care of body heat. That's the first, before water, before food, before anything else, you have to take care of body heat. That's why shelter and insulation are so important. There's a mountain right next to me, and kind of interesting, about 5 years ago, there were three markers placed at the death of some Boy Scouts that had died on the mountain. Well, it was May, and May, of course, is a pretty warm month where I live. But on this mountain, there is a possibility, and the mountain is about 11,000 feet at the peak, that it gets very cold, and you could get a snowstorm. So in May, what happened, of course, it was very warm at the base of the mountain, which is around 5,500 feet. And so the Boy Scouts thought they would go and take a hike up the mountain. Well, they went up the mountain, but a snowstorm moved in May, and three of them died. And they died at different parts because two went down looking for help. And they placed markers where their bodies were discovered. And the markers went lost, and then they discovered all the markers here about 5 years ago. So they're clearly marked. But this is the nature, I think, to David Pilates, is people can just disappear, and you'll die of exposure, and then your body will suffer predation, and basically animals are going to eat your body. They drag your bones all over the place, and that happens quite a bit. But now to have a whole family disappear, though, that definitely is something different. And it is disturbing what happened to the Jameson family, and also what happened to the McStay family. I just think that there has to be another reason. Is it possible that the one of the family members, the adults, did kill the other two, and then it was a murder-suicide? But even then, you would have signs of some of the bones being either hit by a bullet or a knife or something. But these things happen, and I still find it fascinating that...
Maybe it could be the Oklahoma's version of the Donner Party.
Yeah, the Donner Party. Well, I mean, the Donner Party is another good example. Again, they went up the mountain. They thought they were crossing at a good time of year, and they got hit by an unexpected snowstorm. And they weren't prepared for it. And this happens all the time, and it can happen so innocently. You don't have to go very far off the trail, and you could get lost, and then it rains, and you didn't have a poncho, and you get cold, and you can die pretty quickly out there.
Yeah,
that's
a shame.
And I mean, even with the three, did they get lost? They weren't found very far from their truck, so I don't necessarily think they got lost. But you never know. Maybe it was something as simple as that. One of them got hurt, broke an ankle or something, and you just don't know. Just like the two elderly people that died right off the interstate, you can die rather quickly. And but I think true crime stories, and this, once again, was it a crime? Was it an accident? The authorities think it was foul play. And why would you leave all that money in your truck and your cell phone unless you thought you were going to come out again? But they're out there in Pennsylvania, Jason. Any stories of cults or witches, covens, or anything like that go on where you're from?
Well, sometimes they had a really, I mean, this is a very bizarre story that made national news. I know my friend Heather was telling me about this, because I remember seeing on the news, there was this one guy that disappeared for a long time, and they just thought he just took off. And then they found him in his grandmother's attic, like 3 years later, mummified.
That's
a really bizarre story. Yeah,
he may have went up there looking for something and then had a heart attack or a stroke and died.
And he was only like 20-some, I think. Yeah, he wasn't that old either. I mean, that was a really bizarre story. And that made it surprised me when Heather was telling me about that, because it made national news. And that's like one of our really strange things that happened recently, you know?
Yeah. Wow, I wonder what happened. Yeah, that's really bizarre, because someone that young, you wouldn't think would be dying from a heart attack or a stroke. So all you would think is maybe he OD'd up there.
It's possible. You know? It was really strange.
Yeah, that, you know, these are the stories that a lot of people find interesting, and I'm just wondering if, once again, you can call into the show, 929-477-3181, if anyone has any bizarre stories about murdered or unsolved murders or people that have disappeared. But it happens quite often, and especially that... The one airplane that went missing, that one big flight, what was it, the Malaysian flight?
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it, but I mean, that was all over, and they're still looking for the flight, you know? And that brings back, like, stories. I remember, like, they used to have in search of, like, the Bermuda Triangle, like, all these planes went missing back in the 70s, you know, that show, In Search Of?
Yeah, one of my favorite shows.
With Leonard Nimoy, better known as Mr. Spock.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, he did a great job doing
right.
that.
Oh, wait, we got some stuff in the chat here. I think what the Circle is doing to Falky is horrible, and they need to apologize for treating him badly. I agree. It has hurt the Martinez Tonight attendance criminal. Yeah, we'll see how long Martinez Tonight survives. Without there being leads.
Hey, Jeffers, I have a question.
Yeah.
Did Six Week Center, is he going to buy the yacht for so we can do the show on the yacht?
Yeah,
that would be really nice too.
That's the plan. Now, I don't have a specific date, but you know, maybe we'll give it a little bit of time and let everybody rest up, and we'll see what the future holds. But I can't wait for it.
Yeah, because it'd be cool if the Six Week Center gets the yacht. Have it all pimped out, and so we can have maybe some playmates and have good old Jerry and Opaline Jerry and Drone come down and Justin, and we can have a big old party.
Yeah,
maybe
it's
they can
be great.
Dress like Barb Eden too, you know.
Yeah, they can dress like Genie and pirates.
Yes,
right. Maybe we can get Heather Wade to come to the co-host.
Heather
That'd
Wade
cool.
could go. Oh my gosh. That would be a train wreck, that one. Hey guys, well, I think I'm going to end the show. It went a little bit longer than I thought it would. We didn't have a lot of material this week. I think we're going to take a couple of 3 weeks off here, reevaluate where Martinez Tonight is going to go. But it's been fun just playing around. And, okay, so let's get our Super Bowl picks. Jason, who are you picking, and do you have scores?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to say the Patriots. I'm not sure the score just yet. I'm trying to rack it in my brain, you know.
What about you, Damon?
I say the Patriots, they'll win by 14 points.
Wow, 14, that's good. I have the Patriots at 24 and the Falcons at 17. We'll see. Is it a 7-point spread, a 14-point spread? I just don't know. I just don't know. We'll find out tomorrow, I guess. So, you know what, guys? I want to thank everyone, Jason, Damon, for calling in. Greatly appreciated. Thanks to Mr. Clark for calling in. Thanks for listening to Martinez Tonight. You know, it's a show primarily based on George Senda. And George has gone dark, but it's been good. Oh, we got a Pats 34, Falcons 17. Whoa.
Oh, wow. That's a good one.
That would be a blowout. You never know. It might happen. But I want to thank everyone in the chat. It was a great, some great chat room names tonight, even though we didn't have nearly as many people in the chat. We'll see everyone on Belgat. And I, Jason, and Damon, take care.
Okay,
and tonight we are going to take the show out with the Battle of the Planets. Good night, everyone. Have fun in the Super Bowl. Take care.
Yep. Thank you, Damon, for bringing my...
welcome.